This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Amber Lawrence. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Friday Morning Show with Leo. That was the McClymonts with Here's to You and I, a country track remixed by US remixer Dave Ordaim. Now, my next guest has toured with McClymonts. She's a country music singer-songwriter. Since 2007, she has released four studio albums, performed nearly 1,000 shows, oh my God, and won numerous awards for the first time in the Joy Studios, Amber Lawrence.
Hello.
Welcome to Joy, first of all.
Well, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to be in Melbourne on, I guess, Cup Week.
Yes. Well, I'm a bit of a horse racing fan as well, so I should have brought my hat.
Where's your fucking fascinator?
I know. I actually could have squeezed it in, I think.
Now, you learnt to play the guitar when you were 22, mm-hmm. when you could afford lessons, but something that I can relate to personally, and others out there could also relate to, you had a commerce degree in mm-hmm. university. You were an accountant for Qantas.
Yeah.
You chucked all that in
to
be a singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That must have taken a lot of guts back then.
Well, in some ways, I think it was actually the easier decision. I think it would have been harder to stay, you know. So it was quite an easy decision because there's your options. Stay as an accountant and you're going to do this for the rest of your life, and not only do this for the rest of your life, but you're going to regret not taking a chance. Or do you want to just take a chance and see what happens? And if you fail, and I've written that song a million times, you know, I've written different versions of that giving it a shot kind of go for it kind of song. And there's a song on the new album called Live to Tell the Tale.
Yeah.
And so really it was quite easy just to say, yeah, just go for it. Chase your dream. And what I wanted when I quit my job in beginning of 2008 is I wanted to be able to look back at my life and go, yeah, no regrets, whatever way it turns out. And I guess for me, I feel like I'm a success now because I am living my dream. And even though, you know, for every time someone says to me, I love your music, somebody else says, I've never heard of you. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm in a niche market. But that doesn't matter to me that, you know, I don't have the fame of Kylie Minogue or something. I'm still living my dream every day and I'm doing music full time. And it could have been so different. I could have been now sitting in an office job, getting really well paid, going, I wonder what would have happened if I'd quit my job. I wonder what would have happened. Would I have released an album? None of this would have ever happened. I'd never be here talking to you. So, you know, it's quite an easy decision, really.
And that's a catch-22 because most people, I guess, I mean, me personally, I work in finance.
Yeah.
And I hate it, right? Being honest out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess fear and think of, will I get a job in this field?
Mm.
Would I succeed? And that fear almost sometimes overrides your determination to take that chance.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people probably feel that and thinking, I really want to do that, but, you know, I've got to pay the bills and all this stuff. But sometimes, like you said, a chance is what you need to take.
Yeah.
And looking back at your career at the start, what obstacles did you face at that time getting things off the ground and basically starting from scratch?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think for any musician, especially if you go down the independent, you know, the non-TV route, you know, not on a TV show. So I had to build my fan base from scratch, from zero to, you know, where it is today.
Mm.
Not one person had heard of me. And so I had to play gig after gig after gig after gig, which is why I've done so many shows. I've done over 1,000 shows in that time, probably more, you know, if you count school shows and all these other things I do. So, you know, the biggest obstacle for a musician like myself, a singer-songwriter that is doing it the old-fashioned way, I guess I would call it, so not the TV Talent Quest way, is you've got to have a bit of time on your side and you've got to have a bit of money to pay for this career to start with. So lucky I had some savings from my job. And then you've got to have resilience. Never quit, you know, because it's exhausting. It's tiring, touring and touring. I've toured for the last 8 years without much of a break. So that would be the obstacles for me, I'd say, is just that stamina to just go, okay, well, that was a great night. That one worked. Let's do it again. Oh, that one wasn't such a great night, but let's go and do it again next time. Or, you know, just being able to keep on going and building fans one by one. And, you know, the people that I look to are artists like The Waifs, who built their fan by just touring and touring and touring for years and building up a reputation in the town for putting on a great live show. And that's how I want to build my career. And even though it's my fourth album, it's the first tour really on this album that I'm doing as the headliner. So rather than being a support act like for the McClimates like I have been in the past, this time now I'm going out as my own name and again just building the next stage of my career. And but it's really fun being like the headliner in a way, because you can do your own show rather than when you support, you're limited to that 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, if you're lucky, and you never really get to show the audience your full self. So I'm really enjoying getting to do my show, which, you know, is about a 60 to 70 minute show, and it's fun. And we just got back from 3 weeks in North Queensland, which we did 15 shows in that time and drove to Cairns and back. So it's been fun.
Tamworth is, I guess, the capital of country music here in Australia.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you walked down Peel Street?
Yeah.
I've never been there, but I keep hearing these amazing stories about this amazing town, this amazing, I guess, little city, town, that, you know, is embracing country music. And I guess it's quite inspirational being there because there's so many people have gone there before you.
Yeah.
Did you feel that inspiration when you went there?
Yeah, well, the first year I went was in 2003 and I wasn't really even a singer. I had this full-time job. I'd just come back from a holiday snowboarding in Japan and it was Australia Day and I was just playing guitar a little bit and writing songs. And for some reason, I don't know why, I decided I'm just going to jump on a plane and go to Tamworth. That day, on Australia Day, got there, lined the streets of Tamworth and saw the cavalcade, which they have just like the Melbourne Cup Parade here, I suppose, you know, people lining the streets and all the country music stars going down on different trucks and vehicles and all that down the streets waving. And that's when I got the buzz. That's when I went, right, this is what I want to do. And so the next year I came back in a talent quest, actually.
Yeah.
And I came second in that talent quest. And then the year after I came back and it's probably my 12th year at Tamworth now. So I think the only sad thing about that is that now every summer holiday is spent in Tamworth and not snowboarding in Japan anymore.
Now, you mentioned before that I guess reality TV shows, and one person that came off a show was Jessica Marboy.
Yes,
who you know obviously quite well, because in 2005 you lost the Telstra Road to Tamworth competition.
Yeah,
but Jess won.
Yes.
That year.
Yes.
We know Jess now as this pop sort of R&B, I guess, artist.
Yeah.
But back then she came from country roots.
Well, she was only 14 back then too. She's this tiny little girl that blew everyone away with her voice. And I did come second to her in that talent quest. And I was 24, so I was 10 years older than her, or 23. And, you know, the judges that are still in the business today, one of them still tells the story of how I had it in the bag, you know. I was going to be the winner until Jessica Marboy came on stage. This tiny little girl from Darwin singing I Will Always Love You, or no, How Do I Live Without You, I think she sang. And unfortunately, I didn't win, but I came second. And that was okay, because that was how the opening of all the doors in country music for me. I am not Wonder Woman, invincible or made of steel. I got extraordinary, I got dreams and I am real. Face my fears, I lose my soul, stronger than
Friday morning show with Leo. My special guest this morning on the show is Amber Lawrence. We just heard the track, the new single from the album Superheroes. It's called Superhero. And this song is about a situation where you need that inner strength and you're not sure if you can get through what you need to get through.
Yeah.
And saying that.
Well, yeah, kind of. And it's also about saying, well, you know, you often wish that someone could come and save you and
yeah.
and make everything all right, whether it's emotionally, you know, whether you might be going through. And I, you know, when I was writing this album, I was feeling pretty down in the dumps. You know, I didn't have depression, but I was pretty high on anxiety and worry. And so I wanted someone to come in and save me and just make everything better. And that's for me where the idea came from. But then, you know, then there's the practical side of it too, where, you know, another example was I was driving home from a show in Dubbo in New South Wales, 5 hours home, almost made it home. And then the trailer flung off the back of my car because I had been the one that attached it to the car, not realizing you have to actually clip it down. I just thought you could, you know, just throw it on and it'd lock in or something. And anyway, the trailer's hanging off the back of my car, and I looked around. Where was Superman? Where were all the?
Where are you?
Yeah, no one was there to help me. And so, you know, that's kind of the practical side of it. That any situation we get ourselves into, pretty much we're the ones that can get ourselves out of it. And that's what superheroes about. It's, you know, yeah, it'd be nice if we could be saved all the time by Superman or Iron Man or Spider-Man or whatever. It's a little bit of a fantasy song about that inner strength. And I think we all realize that when it comes down to the crunch, you look around, right, the only way I'm going to get out of this,
you are a superhero,
is myself.
I was on the ARIA red carpet last year for the ARIAs, and one guy I interviewed was Troy Cassidaly and Adam Harvey. And
right.
Troy Cassidaly gave you some important advice when you were looking to do this new album.
Yeah.
What did he say to you?
Yeah, he just off the cuff, you know, I wasn't even asking him for advice really. We were just having a chat, and he said, you know, you're doing really great. You're working really hard. Just for your next album, just think about home. Think about the stuff that matters to you, what's in your heart, and write about that. And that was really good advice, because it made me take a step back and look back at things that were important in my life growing up, like my dad, you know. My dad was a surf lifesaver, and that was a story I hadn't told yet, but it's such a great visual. It's such a great Aussie story about these men with moustaches down on the beach, rowing boats and smoking cigarettes and drinking beer. And so that was one of the stories that I was inspired to write after speaking with Troy. And it turns out it's one of the songs that people are really loving on this album, because it's a bit of a poignant love story, really. Although it's about my dad, the lifesaver, it's about my mum and dad. And my dad spotted Miss Maroubra Beach, so that's the beach in Sydney, and he asked her out, and she kind of went, oh, I'm not going out with him. Oh, no way, look at him, looks like an Aussie bogan. And and anyway, a year later they were married, but tides turned in their lives, and dad got really sick when he was 40. He had a stroke, massive stroke. And so he went from being the lifesaver to, you know, not the same man he was, but then mum became his lifesaver. So in this 3.5 minute song, it's kind of this love story of people standing by one another. And it's, I think people admire that in anyone these days, who when the going gets tough, the love still remains strong. So yeah, there's a few more emotional songs in the album like that, and even though they're quite personal, I think the overall storyline relates to people, because, you know, we all have those aspirations of finding a true love and remembering our parents in a fond way, all of that kind of stuff.
I can relate to that song, because about a year and a half ago, my dad passed away. And listening to the album, that really rang home to me, because you talk about your dad in such a loving way. And this week, my dad was his birthday on Melbourne Cup Day. He was a fan of the Gee Gees.
Yeah.
And so this week's been quite an emotional week for me. So getting through that and having songs like this must be quite inspirational to the listeners, because it does touch many people's lives. And your mum also, when she first hit the track, what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, it was quite emotional, because I think she'd just spent such a long time of her life being dad's carer, not knowing that all around her were people thinking, you know, what a good woman to have done this. And so she kind of was very emotional when she heard it, and she also has taken the time now, pretty much every time I sing it, to just say thank you for putting that story you know, for reminding me of that, because my dad has passed away too, 6 years ago, reminding her of the love story that they had. And it's nice to hear, and I'm sorry that you lost your dad too, and the birthdays are really hard.
Yeah, it's been, you know, there's certain moments where you think, you know, certain things come up and you sort of think about your dad. But I find that if I keep myself busy, and I've got a lot of great friends and family around me, which is fantastic. But, yeah. I mean, you do, it gets better over time.
Time does
and
heal.
That's what I've learned. And many people out there have gone through a similar situation who take comfort in music.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful thing. Music.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you listen to tracks and you think, because I remember last year, Mariah Carey's Hero was really sort of in my mind a lot, you know, trying to find out, you know, if I can get through this.
Yeah.
Going back to Auckland, you know, organizing everything, putting my mum into a rest home, that type of stuff. I thought, how am I going to get through this time? And, you know, the hero inside you, the superhero, comes through.
Well, it is that, isn't it? And you do have to, because you had no one else to draw on, you kind of go, right, how am I going to get through this? But, yeah, I think music, that, and for me, country music has an even better role in that for me. And I've just always, since the second album, that was when my dad passed away, so every album has got just a thread of that element of losing someone in it. And there's no one that hasn't been touched by loss. And so, yeah, I find that those are the songs of mine that really relate to people. And it's an amazing feeling when people send you an email to say, you know, your song helped me get through that. And so I feel, yeah, it's really, I feel like I'm very lucky that I get to do that.
You went to Nashville for 3 weeks to record this album, which was really cool. I've spoken to a few artists who have recorded in Nashville.
Yeah.
Casey Barnes, who you might know from Queensland, a pop singer called Bowie Jane, you know, have all been to Nashville to record. And they always tell me it's this amazing hub for songwriters.
Yeah.
Did you feel that connection when you landed in Nashville straight away?
Yeah, well, I went straight off the plane into my first songwriting session.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a bit jet lagged, and there I was trying to write a song, and it was a bit exhausting, but being tired and emotional is the best place you can be in when you're writing because, you know.
Everything comes out.
That's right. Mm. And so, yeah, I was writing for 3 weeks and it was quite exhausting, but yeah, that's kind of, it's hard to imagine what Nashville's like if you haven't been there, but it's quite a big city, you know. It's not that much smaller than Melbourne, you know, and there's parts of it that say songwriters row, music row, and every second building or every building is filled with people who come to work every day to sit in their office to write songs, you know. So their office would look like the ordinary office, except that it's probably got a whiteboard that you're writing song lyrics on, and a couple of guitars and a couple of bean bags and a coffee machine, you know, to keep the inspiration flowing. So, yeah, that's why I went there, and it was great. It was because you're writing every day, your creative juices are somehow turned on a little bit more, and you're just, you're free flowing with ideas. Whereas, you know, when I came back to Sydney, I was like, I've got no more ideas. I left them all in Nashville.
Yeah. The producer on the album, Matt Fowle, has worked with Troy Cassidaly, Damien Leith, Rachel Leocar. Must be good having him on board for this project.
Yeah, he's fantastic. It was the first time I'd worked with him on an album. And although I've known him for a long time, and he's, you know, he just won Golden Guitar for Best Album of the Year. He's an amazing producer. It was great that we hadn't worked together before, because he didn't really know much about my music at all, you know. So he went into this album with a really clean slate of just hearing the songs for the first time and then producing them, rather than kind of watching what I do. And it's because I wanted to have a different album, which I think I have done with this one. I wanted it to be much more rootsy, honest, and not so highly processed. You know, I didn't want to have that pop kind of it's got definitely got pop elements to it. It's just that there's a lot of different tracks on this album and lots of different sounds. So that was all of a result of Matt's creativity. He's a very creative man.
Now, you support a few charities. Mm-hmm. You're the ambassador for the Special Olympics Australia and the advocate for Fight Stroke in honour of your dad, which is so important. You have an event coming up in Sydney on Sunday the 23rd of November, for your dad.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's so throughout November, Australia-wide, there's an event on called Stride for Stroke where you can commit to walking a certain amount of kilometres through the month of November to raise awareness. And if you can, you can raise money as well. But the first stage is a raising awareness because there are strokes that are preventable. You know, get your blood pressure tested, things like that. So
healthy.
Yeah. And so I've committed to walking 100 kilometres, but I thought rather than just walking that, how about I have an event that starts at the surf club where my dad was a surf lifesaver. We walk for 3 kilometres and then we walk back and we finish at the surf club. And anyone who has any association with stroke or anyone who wants to support the Stroke Foundation in Sydney, anyone is welcome, but it's probably going to be easier if you live in Sydney. Mm-hmm.
Can come and,
that's right, can come and walk with us, literally walk the 6 kilometres. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really great day. And I'm going to sing the Lifesaver as well because obviously it's all the worlds of collided there at the surf club with the Stroke Foundation. And at the moment, we've nearly raised, personally, $1,000 at the moment, but I'm sure we'll raise a lot more on the day. And it really, we are raising awareness as well because I didn't know that, you know, if my dad had had a blood pressure test, they would have known how high his blood pressure was and that yes. he was in danger. But we didn't know that. And he was only 40 years old and I was 8 years old. So it was pretty tough on our family. And if we could prevent somebody else going through this, and that's what I'm really all about with this, my role as being an advocate is to speak about it when I can and to raise awareness.
Also, there is your part of Beats for Breast Cancer,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is on at the Qantas Credit Union in Sydney on Wednesday the 10th of December.
Yeah.
Now, I was on your Instagram the other day and you posted a picture of the lovely Dinah Rubis.
Yeah.
You guys are performing at the event with some pretty incredible names as well.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's huge. Justice Crew, Leo Sayer, Dami Im, lots more to be announced. Myself, Morgan Evans, Diana Rivas, who I had the photo with. She's an amazing singer. Mm. So it's a big charity night for breast cancer at the – it's called the Qantas Credit Union Arena, but, you know, I know it better as the Sydney Entertainment Centre.
Yes, we all did it.
It's a lot easier to understand. Anyway, if you are going to be in Sydney at that time, it's a Wednesday, the 10th of December. Ticket prices are really reasonable and you're getting this huge night of entertainment all for the breast cancer fundraising effort. And get online, Beats for Breast Cancer, come along.
Now, the new album from Amber Lawrence is called Superheroes. It is in stores and online right now. Make sure you check out Amber's website, amberlawrence.com.au, for all the updates. Follow her on social media. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Amber.
Thank you very much. And if people want to find out when I'm playing in Victoria,
yes,
that's on the website as well.
On the website
it's next
as
Friday,
well.
14th and 15th.
And we'll put those dates on the website
Thank
for
you
as well. Let's play one of your other tracks from the album. Do you want to choose a track?
Well, can we play The Lifesaver? Would that be all right?
Let's play Lifesaver. You're on Join the Me 4.9. Thanks,
Thank
Amber.
Thank you.
And the surf boat led the parade when they carried him home, and his photo still hangs on the wall. And to this very day, they speak of the man and how his will to live inspired them all. So that's the story of the 1970s surf lifesaver.
Hi, this is Amber Lawrence. You're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.